Hallelujah. Robert still in here, baby? Robert? Just roll me a little bit before I get into the doctor. Just a little bit. I'm going to exhort a little bit on 119, and then we'll get into some doctrine. Hallelujah. How many of you are blessed of God? Hallelujah. Amen, amen, and amen. Allow me just for a brief moment, and we are going to get into some doctrine, and I'll let Robert rest his fingers. I just want to... We're going to touch on Psalms 119. Really been blessed by in the Psalms. Psalms 91. I've been in the Psalms a lot. Psalms 119. If I cry, just bear with me, okay? I'm a grieving dad, all right? I can't help but think about him, but... Psalms 119, a very long psalm. I think it's 170-something verses, I don't know. The word, commandments, law, precepts is used over 100 times. It's a book about the Word of God. How powerful the Word of God is if it's kept. The great psalmist King David said this. We're going to lay a foundation before we go into Psalm 34. He said, "You are my hiding place and shield." Remember, the emphasis on Psalms 119 is Mosaic law, the Word of God. Correlation to New Testament teaching. He said, "You are my hiding place and shield." Listen to what he said. "I hope in your word. You are my hiding place and shield. I hope in your word." That word hiding place is the same Hebrew word as in Psalm 91:1. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Hiding place in Psalm 119. And secret place in Psalm 91:1 is the same Hebrew word. He said, "You are my hiding place and shield. I hope in your word." So if you don't hope in his word, he is not your hiding place. If you don't hope in his word, then you don't dwell in the secret place of intimacy. Listen to what the psalmist said. He said, "Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God." The arrogance that he had. If I'm keeping God's word, evildoers don't rise up against me. You're fighting a losing cause. If I keep God's word, he is my refuge and my strength. I cannot lose, he says. Evildoers, enemies of God, you better depart from me, for I keep the commandments of God. He said in Psalms 119, and we quote this all the time, but we never finish quoting the context. "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We stop there. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Lord, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. The correlation. His word is a lamp to your feet, light unto your path, if you don't keep God's word. Everything he quoted, it was contingent on if we keep God's word. See, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments." Another one that we quote, but we never finish off. "Great peace have they" what? "That love your law, and nothing shall cause them, nothing shall cause them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation. I do your commandments. Everything he quoted, contingent. He said, great peace have they which love your law. You got to love it. How do you love it, Lord? I hope for your salvation. I do your commandments. You do the commandments. You love them exceedingly. Satan wants me to change my doctrine about God the last 2 or 3 days. No, my doctrine is the same. Christ did all that he could to spare my son. All that he could. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Don't come to me with foolishness that he needed another flower in heaven. That's foolishness. He was 29 years old, way too young. My doctrine will never change. If I can't see yet, it's not because God humbled me. It's because I don't believe yet. Matthew 8. And they brought many to him. They were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. My doctrine will not change, because the word of God is unchangeable. It is absolute. My friend Delma, we've gotten real close to her and her daughter. Keep coming to this church, Delma. I guarantee you, you won't be in that wheelchair forever, sister. Trust me. My friend Shiny, I love that young lady. Her daughter, I love that young lady. We spent some time with her the other day. Women, call Delma. She is an awesome young lady that knows her word. She will surprise you. She will surprise you. Saying all that, kingdom is based on word obeyed. Not only is the word mentioned over 100 times in Psalms 119, but 18 times he mentions to speak God's word. See, everybody loves God's word till you got to use it. I love God's word till you got to use it, till you got to put it in your mouth. I'm going to live and not die. I will see again. I won't be blind forever, Lord. These kitties will work. You love God's word till you got to use it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they which love it shall eat its fruit. We got to watch what we say. I think Pastor Brown has been preaching that for a while. Death, almost there, Robert. Death and life are in the power, Psalms 18, I believe. Is that right? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they which love it shall eat its fruit. Speak death over yourself. Guess what? You'll probably die. Speak life over yourself. You'll probably live. Why? Proverbs 18. He said, a man's belly is satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. By the increase of his lips, he is filled. Watch what you speak. My doctrine will not change. The word of God does not change. It is a sum total of all that we need. I will not deviate. I'm preaching right now because I'm excited. I'm not burnt out. I don't have anxiety. I don't need a vacation. At 6 o'clock this morning, my vacation started. That's until 5 o'clock. That was my vacation. I don't need a trip here, a trip there. No, I don't. And you say, well, you can't afford it. You'd be surprised what I can afford. You'd be surprised the people they want to give me. You'd be surprised. I don't need that. There's nothing wrong with it, but I don't need it. One vacation every 2 years is sufficient for me. King David said in 1 Samuel 17 or 18, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Queen Esther, I was born. Matter of Mordecai says, you were born for such a time as this. All right, Rob, you can ease off, buddy. And go sit down with your wife, your beautiful wife, Bailey. Is it me or could you just hear Bailey forever? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 34, please. Psalms 119, the word, law, commandment, statutes. Used over 100 times, but 18 times he says, put that word in your mouth. Speak it. We love God's word till we got to use it. Word of God is powerful. It has sustained me. And it will sustain me. Amen. Psalm 34. Our text is going to start in chapter 1 to verse 4 for right now. I could quote the whole psalm for you, but that's not necessary. I just want to quote certain parts of it. I think you will be blessed. I think you will be. I think open up your heart and you'll learn something today. Pastor Bronx said, afflictions are going to come. Boy, did he nail it. Psalm 34, starting in verse 1, verse 1 through 4. I will what? Bless. When? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise. No. His praise. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Listen, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Context. Context. I will bless the Lord at all times. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they which love it shall eat its fruit. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. His praise. Not a mirage of words. Not logic, not contradiction, not seminary, not theology. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. So, Lord, I worship you. I worship you. You did all that you could to keep my son alive. I worship you. I praise you, Almighty God. I praise you and worship you. I will bless the Lord all the days of my life. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. How? By praising him. I'm going to say something, repeat something so powerful for about 15 seconds. Tell me if you're blessed. Will you tell me? Will you be honest with me? Yes, sir. Okay, here we go. You ready? Listen carefully. Were you blessed? No, you weren't. Why? Because I praised him in my mind. I praised him in my mind. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. Okay, you ready? One more time. 15 seconds. Tell me if you're blessed. Father, I worship you. I bless you. I praise you. You are God. You are Lord. You're righteous in judgment, Lord. You are fair. We love you. You're merciful. You're graceful. You are long-suffering. I thank you for your mercy. Were you edified? Because you heard my praises about him. You heard them. They weren't solitary. They weren't confined in my mind. They came out of my heart to Almighty God. My soul magnified him. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast of the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us, on Sunday mornings, on Wednesday nights, let us, on Wednesday evenings, let us exalt his name together. Listen to what he said. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Okay. I sought the Lord. The context is praising him continually with my mouth. So the psalmist said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Is there a possibility that in the seeking process, that maybe his heart was filled with praise? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. Let me for all my fears. He sought him in faith. He sought him praising God. I could quote the rest, but I don't want to do that right now. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. He sought him with a heart filled with praise. He didn't seek him with a mirage in his mind, with contradictions of the gospel. He sought him with a heart and a mouth filled with praise. You don't think words matter? Goliath, 9'6" in stature, uttered the same words for 40 days. 40 days he uttered the same words to men of Israel who had a covenant, who shook in their armor, terrified of a dog that had no covenant. They shook in their armor till same words, Goliath, Mr. Same, meant different. Who's different? David was different. He had the word of God hidden in his heart. Same meant different. And when he meant different, same was put to death. Learn from that. A 5'6" ruddy shepherd of sheep, filled with God's word, anointed by the Holy Ghost, slew a giant because he was different. How is he different? He was filled with Jehovah. Nine foot six. Same words for 40 days. And this little shepherd boy heard the words one time. He said, oh, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause defiling the armies of the living God? You only have a covenant, Goliath. You only have a covenant with God. I do. You are in trouble. You're as good as dead. Sure enough. Same words meant different words. The different words were a psalmist that loved to praise God. The different was a man who loved the law of God. He said, you are my hiding place and shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love your law, and nothing shall cause it to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation. I keep your commandments. Are you with me? Is it making sense to you? He believed the word, but he quoted the word 18 times. He said, I sing, my tongue utters praise. I cried out to you with a heart filled with praise. the beginning of the text. 34 and 1, one more time. I will, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise, not my needs, his praise, not my needs, his praise shall continue to be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, Delma. Magnify the Lord with me, Amanda P. Magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I ought to be in torment right now. Far from it. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. Let me give you an opinion, not doctrine, but those mature in Christ will say amen to this. In your quiet times with Almighty God, let it just be you and him. Cut the music off. Because the music brings an emotion. And those emotions aren't there during trials. That cute little song won't be there during trials. Cut it off. Lift up your voice and sing praises to him. If you get used to crying during a song, you will need that song during trials or you won't make it. You won't make it. See, his praise. I told Pastor Brock today, don't worry about it, big dog. I got it. I got it, big dog. The anchor, it holds. The anchor holds, big dog. I told him, it holds. I will not drift away. Psalm 34, verse 18, we're skipping, but I know the context, so I can't skip. I know the context of Psalm 34. I don't preach nothing out of context. The Lord, 18 and 34, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. Listen carefully now. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such to be of a contrite spirit. Listen to that. You say yes, amen to that. Listen to what he said. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such that be of a contrite spirit. This is the next part. It leaves you scratching your head. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. He tells you that he's near to you. And he says, Harry, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Doesn't matter. Pastor Bronx said through the Holy Ghost, they're going to come. They're going to come. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such to be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Let's revert back to the beginning of 18. Afflictions come, but the Lord is near. Afflictions are going to come. Who cares? The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such to be of a contrite spirit. In 101 vernacular, 101 vernacular, what that means, without going into the Hebrew, the Lord is near, or a kinsman. Let me break it down to you in a carnal analogy. I had friends growing up, and if I got into a fight, they got into a fight. But other punkish friends that if I got into a fight, I'd get beat up because they wouldn't help me. You with me? Number 32, he was near. If they put out a gun, he said, let's roll. He was near to me. I had other friends. I got a fight one time with two guys at the same time. They stood by while they busted my nose. It's okay. When they busted my nose, I bit him in the back. So anyway, bit a hole in his corduroy jacket. Anyway, oh Lord. I don't know why I said that. Forgive me, Lord. I mean, You see what I mean by near? Number 32 was near to me. If I fight, go fight him. I don't care if I was going to fight a black guy. He was black. That black guy was going to fight Kevin Handy too. He was going to fight him. You can't mess with his brother. But other punkish friends, back then, that's the word that I used, they wouldn't do nothing. They were your friends as long as you bought them a six-pack of beer. You know what I mean by near? It's a natural analogy, but the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. And say, says it be the company. The Lord is near to the humble. You with me? Those born-again believers that live out of the inward man. The humble. 101 vernacular. The Lord is near to the humble. To the humble, to those that yield to his word. Those that love intimacy. Those that are servants to the word of God. The Lord is near. Near. Though he's near to me. Though I'm humble. Yet he said many are the afflictions of the righteous. So Lord, you're near to me. I'm humble. So afflictions are still going to come. Yes, they're going to come. But it doesn't matter. Because guess what? He's near to you. But he said, the battle's not yours. This is how I fight my battles. Your praise is in my lips. I praise you, Father. I thank you that you are my strength and my defense, my fortress and my high tower. You arm me with strength for the battle. You make my feet like that of a deer, Lord. You make these hands to war so these arms can bend a bow of bronze. You strengthen me by your might. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation, let him be exalted. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those who trust in him. Psalms 18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and say such to be of a contrite spirit. Vernacular, plain vernacular. He's near to the humble. He's near to those that live out of Christ in you. He's near to you. Afflictions are going to come. It doesn't matter because he's near to you. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and say such to be of a contrite spirit. Many, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but contrast, the Lord delivers him out of them all. If you're broken and contrite, if you're humble in spirit, he's near to you and will deliver you out of that affliction. They're going to come. They're going to come, but he will deliver you if you are humble. Humble. I heard that word a million times out of Gary Carpenter's mouth. Humble. Humble yourself. Then humble yourself some more. Afflictions are going to come. They're going to come at your body, at your family, but we humble ourselves. The Lord is near to us and we will be delivered from all affliction. But the Lord will deliver him out of them all. This is what he said. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Listen. This is his praise that we put in our mouth, even when we don't feel it. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants. Listen, it's not a percentage. The Lord redeems the souls of his servants, and none that trust in him shall be desolate. The Lord redeems, not maybe, not, but contingent, will you humble yourself? Will you let him flex his muscle in your life? The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those that trust in him shall be guilty, shall be desolate. Let's revert back to the context. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those that trust in him shall be desolate. The context of this teaching was praising him at all times with our mouth. Your day, regardless of the doctor's report, we live in the Genesis 3 body. Things are going to come at our body. We put God's word in our mouth and we speak it. We confess it and we thank him for the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank him for the blood. Why? Because the Lord redeems the souls of his servants. And none of those, listen, none of those who trust in him shall be desolate. Listen, none of those that trust in him shall be desolate, shall be guilty. Psalms 18, reverting back to the word trust. As for God, I think it's 18:20 or 18:30. As for God, his way is perfect. What's his way? His word. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. His word is his way that's perfect and it's proven. Listen to what he said, reverting to the word trust and bringing down the word trust in Psalms 18, the last verse, 22. Reverting back to Psalms 18. As for God, his way is perfect. The way of the Lord is tried. His way is his word, and his word is perfect. Could I say so? No, because Psalms 18 says so. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is, listen, he is a buckler, a shield to all those, here's our word, who trust in him. You don't keep his word that's perfect, that's his way. He won't be your shield because you don't trust in him. We keep his word. He becomes our shield. His word is proven. It's his way and it's perfect. Are you with me? The Lord redeems the soul of his servants. Servant, a voluntary slave. None of those that trust in him shall be guilty. Trusting means to trust his word and wear it. We love God's word till we have to use it. Let his praises fill our hearts. Pastor Brown has been preaching that for years. Years. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they which love it shall eat its fruit. Somebody help me with the time a little bit, please. Oh, man. Are you with me? Psalms 119. Parallel in Psalm 34. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those that trust in him shall be desolate. Psalms 18. You are my hiding place and shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. Psalms 119, great peace have they which love your law. Loving your law is not a cliche. Loving your law is a lifestyle of obedience. Great peace have they which love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation. I do your commandments. The arrogance, the godly arrogance that you can have if you have communion with God and you obey His word. An arrogance that you cannot be defeated and that you cannot be stopped. The arrogance that causes you to slay a 9'6" giant with fearful words, and you little in stature, but you're filled with God's word and you can't lose. Contingent. John 15, abide in me and I in you. Abiding in Christ. Abiding in His word. If you abide in His word, He'll abide in you. We cannot lose. We will not lose. Keep God's word in your mouth, even when you don't feel like it. Every time I preach, it's quiet. I must be boring or it's hitting the spot. The Lord redeems the soul of His servants. Listen. The Lord redeems the soul of His servants. Is that pretty black and white? None of those that trust in Him shall be guilty. We got to leave it for what it says. We can't judge things on what we see or don't see. We can't judge that on prayers that we pray and they're not answered. We judge God's word by God's word. We don't say it might be God's will to heal or that is heresy. I'll backslap if you say that around me. They take the Lord's Prayer way out of context. Way out. I don't care how smart you are, how much degrees in theology you have. You're an idiot if you believe that. Si Dios quiere, mijito, es la voluntad de Dios. No. His will. For my friend Delma, if he were here, he'd go out to Delma and say, Delma, rise up. That is the gospel of the kingdom. They said, Jesus, are you he that should come, or look we for another? He said, you tell them what you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and to the poor, the gospel is preached. That is kingdom, friends. That is kingdom. Not religion. That is kingdom. If Christ were here, Quentin, rise up, and my son would be alive. I'm not going to lie. I grabbed his hand. And I cried life back into him. I said, in Jesus' name, life returned to my son. I gave it a shot. But this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. These eyes are opened up only by faith. We don't blame Christ. We believe God's word. We have that ministry now. Christ is with the Father. Now we have that commission. We'll never be the Christ. We're not Messiah. But the Father lives in us now. I should, as an elder, according to the book of James, I should be able to go to Delma right now. See, Delma, in Jesus' name, rise up. That is kingdom, man. We can never change our confession. We don't speak narrative. We speak kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. Not one time did I ask God, why is my son dead? Not one time. Not one time. When I grabbed his cold hand, I said, rise up, son. Rise up. He didn't rise. Do I blame God? Or does John 10 not say the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy? Who does? The thief. False doctrine comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Christ came. We would have life, and life more abundantly. One thing we're getting right in this church is doctrine. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is kingdom doctrine. I'm almost done. You might want to get ready, Robert, in a little bit before we finish up. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, is kingdom teaching. 101. Kingdom teaching. But guess what? In Matthew 8, he come off the mountain. He went from kingdom teaching, Matthew 8, to kingdom seeing. They were healed. He taught, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, kingdom. Matthew 8, he showed kingdom. And what he did, as a man filled with the Holy Ghost. Women can do it too. This is a fundamentalist church. Women can do it too. Men can do it too. Why? Because we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, kingdom teaching. Matthew 8, teaching fulfilled. That is kingdom. That is sound doctrine. Your praise shall continue to be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Father, I won't change. I won't edit or omit out of the word of God because of what happens in my life. No, your word is the mountain that I die on. I die on the mountain of your word. If I'm going to be a laughingstock to Christians, let me be a laughingstock. I'm going to close with this. One thing, this might sound like contradiction, but it's not. One thing the Lord took from me, the first 10 years we heard about Pastor Dave, I prayed in the Holy Spirit a lot. And I realized that half of the things that I believed were what? Wrong. And I thought praying in the Spirit was bittersweet to me. A lot of the doctrine that I believed was wrong. But I thought, because I was starting to know so much, that I was God's hitman. I thought I had to correct everybody's doctrine with no love. Knowledge puffs up. Love edifies. I thought I was God's hitman. You said something wrong, I was going to correct you with no love, no substance. What an idiot. If you go into a conversation, I'm invited to different churches. I go to honor my friends. I know what I get when I walk into a church that does not preach praying in the Holy Spirit. I know beforehand what I'm going to get. But if I go in closed-minded, nothing the preachers say will be any good to me because I'm looking for false doctrine. And any good he might have to say, I shut it up because of my ignorance. The Lord took that criticalness away from me. Thank God. So I can go visit a friend in a fundamentalist church and enjoy myself because I'm not looking for false doctrine. I'm fellowshipping with the beloved. We can never forget that. They're trying their best, man. They're trying their best. They're blood-bought saints. Yes, there's a time for correction, yes. But if you can't do it in love, just be quiet. I know what I'm going to hear. It's hard for me to be quiet sometimes. It's hard. But if I correct with no love, it's vanity and they won't be received. So I go into a fundamentalist church and you hear things that you know aren't right. We hear things that are right. I rejoice in that what's right. What's wrong? I don't believe it. I don't preach it. But I go with them because I love them. I went with some friends Sunday to a church that doesn't preach baptism of the Holy Ghost. More than likely they preach once saved, always saved. It doesn't matter. They preach Christ. Forgiveness. That has to mean something, doesn't it? If I go in there closed-minded, ready to correct doctrine, I'm going to receive nothing because I'm looking for error. But if I go in there filled with God, filled with loving compassion, I'll grieve for them, but I'll pray for them, literally pray for them. Thank you. Because the Lord is near. Listen. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them of all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trusted him shall be desolate. Knowledge is great if the substance of knowledge is love. If you can love, by all means, correct in meekness. But if you can't do it in meekness, if you're critical, The Lord took that from me, and I'm glad he took it from me. The word, he didn't just take it from me randomly. I died to it. There's a difference. He ain't just going to take it from you. You got to die to it. I died to Homer's pride. Finish up with this. The psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. In conjunction to 18, the Lord is near, Rex, near, to those in common vernacular that are humble. If you're humble, love is the substance that backs up your meekness. I believe in sound doctrine. You can't read 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus and know that doctrine is placed in church as a mandate, as a commandment. The elders in 1 and 2 Timothy had to be sound in doctrine. I believe that, but I also know on one-on-one conversation, there has to be love. There's going to be correction. If not, we must be quiet. Amen. I covered a lot towards the end. But I think I got my point across. The gospel cannot be edited. Words cannot be omitted. We preach the gospel of the kingdom. Always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? So the life of Jesus will be made manifest in our mortal body. Homer has to die. So I'm on a fast. I'm going to continue until I go back to treatment. Why? Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Don't be mad at me. Learn from my errors. Learn from my mistakes. I can defend my own against anybody in here. Do you want to cut the word up? I will go with you. I will go, and you won't out debate me. Not in my eyes, you won't. You might out debate me in your eyes, but I can hold my own against any teacher with a doctrine. I can hold my own, but I won't. I'll be quiet. All I do is show my pride and get nowhere with it. I can hold my own against anybody in here. Anybody out there, I can hold my own, but I won't do it. I used to do it, but I won't do it anymore. You with me? Hallelujah. Before we go home tonight, if you have anything to give, I think the offering's in the back. Harry, is that correct? Yes. Got something to give tonight? Offering basket's in the back. The Lord got me through tonight with grace. He tried to give me the breakdown, not God. In the beginning, it was hard, but I knew I had a word for you. I knew I had a word for you. We preach the gospel of the kingdom in this church, in truth and in context. Amen. Stand with me, please. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you and we love you so much. Teach us, Lord, to be as they that love not their life till the death, Father. Your grace to continue to fast, to pray, to die to selves, Father, take up our cross daily and follow you. I love them all, Father. Your mercy, your grace, your angels be dispatched around all of them on their way home, Father. Many of them drive a long ways, even an hour from here, Father. May your angels be upon them, protecting them, pushing back every force of darkness, Father. We love you and we praise you, Father, until we meet again this Sunday. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said extremely loud, amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thanks for coming out. Come over, my wife. Let me sit down a little bit.